Isaiah chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 1 all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. It's lengthy but needful. The message entitled, God Judges Nations. As you know, history gives us a good overview of civilizations, and the average length of nations is 200 years. And one has put it this way, regarding the people of those nations. They've gone from slavery to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependency, and from dependency back to bondage. Our nation is no exception, as you know, but rather it fits the rule, being only 244 years old, quite young. The careful observer will see that the early warnings could be seen in the early 1900s. Again, just drawing some points, not that it didn't happen earlier. Yeah, the Roaring Twenties, the movement of women from the home to the workforce because of World War II, a necessity. But after that, many of them remain in the workforce, and it just kept increasing all the way. And so our homes became more ghost towns in the neighborhoods. The sexual revolution of the 60s came, brought a new destruction to the home, not quite immediately, to individuals, not quite immediately. Sin is fun for a while, but it catches up with you. And when the repercussions come, they're not that pretty. Many of us who are baby boomers understand this. We were there. And we know and have seen the carnage of many of our friends who haven't come to the Lord. And by grace of God, He has forgiven us and made us new. But we cannot deny the cultural destruction that came through that. In 1962, the Supreme Court of New York, in the prayer case, banned prayer from school. 1963, the court banned the reading of the Bible in public schools. From 1962 on, the ACT scores plummeted. They have never stopped. I think we in education are last in the world, maybe second. Our national leaders and lawmakers at that time took a stand against everything our nation stood for and was founded on. It resulted in the outlandish an onslaught of natural consequences. But I do believe that it's part of God's judgment, even in the days of Isaiah that we'll see. So God judges nations, but He also allows the natural consequences of evil to be a judgment on the nation itself. Remember, God's on the throne. He's not oblivious or ignorant, nor is He permissive to what goes on. We have the record of the days of Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah, the Tower of Babel, Israel, bondage, Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom. We have the prophetic judgment that's to come of Revelation chapter 17 and 18 of the Church of Babylon and the worldly aspect of the Babylonian system. And so a person would be blind or willfully ignorant to deny all of these things, even from the secular perspective. We have history. The problem today is that we are altering and redacting history. We're making up history that has never happened and declare it to be so. And so that brings a lot of confusion to those who are from kindergarten up during that period of time. Many of the liberal progressives of our day, if they haven't been born again, you're talking about 19 to the age 40 that have been indoctrinating the propaganda of socialism and Marxism in the new world thought of the, again, about our nation, which has no historical reality to it. But to them, it's real because this is what they've been taught. And so we have God's judgment here, but it's lengthy. But let me read it, and then we're going to tear it apart. Here in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem, from Judah, the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, and the diviner, and the elder, the captains of 50 and the honorable man, the counselors and the skillful artists and the expert enchanters. I will give children to be their princes, their babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child will be insolent towards the elder, and the base towards the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, 'You have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these rooms be under your power,' in that day he will protest, saying, 'I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people.' For Jerusalem stumbled, and Judah has fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord Yahweh, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to those souls, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of their hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are the oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. Oppression and luxury condemn. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. For you have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing the people and grinding the faces of the poor, says the Lord of hosts? Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. The Lord Yahweh will uncover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves, the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, the headbands, the perfume boxes and charms, and the rings, the nose jewels, and festal apparel, and mantle, the outer garment, the purses, and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turban, and the robes. And so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there shall be a stench. Instead of a sash, a robe. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of rich robe, a grinding of sackcloth. A branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit on the ground. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, 'We will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach.'" Wow. This is history, not make-believe history. The judgment of God against Jerusalem and Judah was manifest in the most natural consequences through the prophet Isaiah in terms of social dynamics, which is characterized by three elements. First, the reprisal for social instability, verse 1 through 7 of chapter 3. Second, you have the reasons for the social instability, verse 8 through 15. And thirdly, the reminder of the heart of social instability, verse 16 down to the first verse of chapter 4. We begin with the reprisal for social instability, the first seven verses. Notice verse 1 through 3. God will remove the nation's resources. Very clear. And he's very detailed. Almost, okay, get over it. He wants to let them know all he's going to do. The basis for life would be removed. Look at verse 1. The context is the day of the Lord in the latter days, which began in chapter 2. And it runs all the way to chapter 4. verse 1. That's the context, the day of the Lord. So the prophecy in short-term fulfillment is Assyria and Babylon. Long-term, it's the seven-year tribulation and then the Lord's return. Remember, prophecy always has a short-term and a long-term. The one doing the removing, notice, is the Lord of hosts. The term is used by Isaiah throughout the book, as you know. It identifies the captain of the armies of heaven. He's fighting his own people, the ones who have betrayed him, the ones who have been unfaithful to him. The first word, Lord, all capital letters, Yahweh. The second one, capital L, small O-R-D. The capital letters are covenant, Yahweh. He delivered them from Egypt. Lord, capital L, small R-D, is Adon, meaning like the Greek kurios, master, owner. He delivered them. And so the Lord will take away, notice, the stock and the store, referring to the thoroughness, not just to those two things. So here when he says the stock and the store means everything in between. He's going to remove it all. The thoroughness of it, from the whole supply of bread to the whole supply of water. This is judgment. It's from Jerusalem and Judah. Notice verse 2, the basics for government would be removed also. This is God's judgment. The mighty man of war, both soldiers and officers, will be taken away. The judges and prophets, those who administer justice and call the leaders back to it. The deliverer, the diviner, notice that. And the elder, those of cultic insight and experience. So here they are, they're people of God, but they've integrated and they've mixed in already their cultural, occultic practices and their philosophies and everything else. Look at verse 3. The basics for military strength would be removed. The captain of 50, those who are officers over the troops. The honorable men, those character that were looked up to. The counselor, the skillful artisan, the expert enchanter, referring to the advisors of the state along with the inquiry of secret arts of enchanters and mediums. So they had come a long ways. Moses warned them about this in Exodus and Deuteronomy over and over again. The Bible speaks to us about not being unequally yoked, speaks to us about mixing stuff that is of the occult or everything like that. Once again, they had integrated God's truth with the practices of the land. He has already stated that in chapter 2, verse 6. Now notice verse 4 and 5. God would replace their leaders also with unqualified individuals. Verse 4, their leaders would be inexperienced and self-centered. God would give them children to be their princes, indicating boys or youth who had not proven themselves competent to lead. God would give them babes to rule over them, referring to capricious ones, unreasonable self-will. When we look to the parallel of our own nation, you can't miss it. Look at verse 5. Their local people would be ruthless. There would be violent oppression of the people by the people, neighbor against neighbor, a form of anarchy. And it's due to the lack of consequence on the guilty. Due to no power in the ruling authorities, the lack of consequence will always destroy authority. We see it in our own nation. The good are being punished and the evil are being rewarded or not even confronted. Our governor has passed a law not to even confront prostitution, just leave them alone. So in fact, he's legalized prostitution by no confrontation and many other things. He's also passed a law for a child for the abortion aspect that it goes up to 18 days after the birth. That's murder. Wow. There would be no respect towards those of authority and in authority. Notice the child will be insolent, arrogant towards the elder. I'm glad that's not happening in our society. The elder refers to the age, the old King James, the hoary head, the gray-headed. The base towards the honorable. The base where the lightly esteemed, those who were not honorable, would not honor those who deserved honor. Look at verse 6 and 7. Their local homes would have no confident heads. One would ask his brother to lead in verse 6. In verse 7, the brother would refuse by virtue of the fact that he was in the same impoverished condition. We look to our economy. We look to the condition economically of the United States and how it has faltered so much. With the COVID, the lockdown, the businesses that were destroyed, family businesses that took decades, gone. Non-essential. Who declares who's essential, who's non-essential, when it was all a lie? Amazing. Benjamin Franklin, in his speech to the Continental Convention, said the following, quote, "God governs the affairs of men. I also believe that without his concurrent aid, we shall succeed in the political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to the future ages." Prophetic. Why? Because they knew God's word. God warned them about that. How we have seen our national independence erode away in the last 50 years. Just draw a line in 1970 to the present. We lost the automotive industry to Japan. The oil embargo in the early 70s. Some of you remember being in line for gas. Okay? It moved us into smaller cars. There went the auto industry also. The American industry exports raw material out of the United States and then imports it back in products. That's the definition of a colony to the country that sends it to you. So we're a colony of India, China, and Mexico, and everywhere else. Wow. Many of our major companies took their business overseas, such as China, India, Mexico. Many directly by the hand of the federal government. Our governmental leaders that had character have been slowly but surely been replaced by God. As assemblymen and congressmen have been caught receiving bribes, embezzlement, or whatever. Nobody goes to jail. City councilmen get caught using drugs while in office. Early on, they got some repercussion. Now, it really doesn't matter. As city councilmen are accused of so many different things, the police officers at times, because the standard has been lowered so much, are worse than some of the people they arrest. And they are more on the good officers, many good officers. But because of the lowering standard of police and firemen and military, it has degraded the effectiveness and the discipline that's necessary for enforcing law and protection. It's simple. Ex-President Bill Clinton debated with the Congress on the definition of sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky. How shameful was that? Ex-Vice President Al Gore, adamant about global warming, telling people how to live and to do with less, and yet he travels all over on his own jet and pollutes the planet much more than any person could. But he's the exception. See, he's the elite. Ex-President Obama lied to the entire American public when he says, if you don't like it, you can keep your doctor. You can keep your insurance. Straight out lie. and many other things that we'll leave alone. We have the present corruption of our political system that has led to a climax in our nation of fraudulent elections. Now, I don't know what your political affiliation is, and that don't really matter to me. I'm not for one or the other, but I cannot ignore the good that may be done by one party or the evil. I have to live in reality as a Christian. And so the facts and the evidence is not hidden. If you're not aware of that, then you're living with your head in the sand. It's all around us. Our military strength was diminished and weakened consistently throughout the Clinton administration by scaling down our military, closing bases, by integrating women with men, demoralizing, distracting, and dividing the men. Now, we've always had women in military service as WACs and office and all that, but not battle, not training. What you do is you divide the men. You compromise them. You break down ethics and morals. When you've got two men and a woman in a foxhole, you've got two men that can really perform efficiently, but they know the woman, though she's been trained, they're going to be looking out for her. That minimizes their effectiveness. Simple. Simple. Also, by the lax attitude of our soldier, their character, their conduct, the consequences, and simply at times denying that the problem exists by the top generals that are appointed that way. We've seen the results of that. What should we say about the cold-blooded and callous violence that occurs in our homes, in our streets, our neighborhoods? It's undeniable. Violence, incest, lack of parental guidance, supervision on a daily basis. Innocent children are shot. Some gang member just indiscriminately just shoots up. Maybe he's got it in for somebody in the house, maybe just for the heck of it, initiation. No concern about the 10-month-old in there or the 90-year-old father or mother. Doesn't make any difference. The bold disrespect for parents and all other authority, whatever it may be. We even allow people to steal. You can't touch them wherever they go in. If they go in as 5 or 10 or 20 and they just rampage a store, you're not to touch them. I think you should give them some time out as they're walking out to start with. Listen, nothing's for free. You know who pays for all those robberies? You and I, the taxpayer. Every bill gets paid sooner or later. Just real simple. The liberal permissiveness of our educational system equips and facilitates our children to live a depraved and godless lifestyle, usurping authority over the parents. And parents too much and too long bowing out, not being involved with their children. And so this was the reprisal for their social instability. This is history. We see the parallel. Notice secondly comes the reasons for the social instability in verse 8 down to 15. In verse 8, their spiritual state was degenerated. The first reason is Jerusalem stumbled and is Judah's fallen in their speech against the Lord because of their tongue. Verse 8 says, the beast behind the ivory cage. The tongue probably has destroyed more lives than anything else. Their tongue uttered words against God and His word. The proclamation of their obedience is a contradiction of their lives. Today, people say they're Christians. People say they're the church, and yet they've redefined it because they don't match up with Scripture. You drop the plumb line, it disqualifies them to be Christians, to be pastors of the Christian faith, to be churches, the Church of Jesus Christ. Notice the second reason on 8 there is for their deeds. First their words, now their deeds against the Lord. Because of their doings against the Lord Yahweh, they kept coming to the temple and offering sacrifices. Isaiah picks that up in the beginning. Worshiping the Lord, they kept seeking God's face as if he would listen. Not considering their sin, their lifestyle. They kept worshiping other gods and practiced abominations, desecrating the courts of God's temple. People do that every day today in Christianity. They sit in churches, listen to pastors, listen to scripture. It's like water off a duck's back. Doesn't affect them. The third reason at the end of 8 is their provocation to provoke the eyes of his glory, the temple. They tempted God by going beyond the boundaries he had set. They tamper with God's holiness, as Isaiah said in chapter 1, verse 4. Then notice in verse 9, their moral state was disintegrated. Their faces revealed their guilt. The look on their countenance witnesses against them. If you've lived long enough, you can see a young man that begins so promising, or a young woman, vibrant, good-looking, beautiful young lady, and they go down the wrong way. They start living with the drugs, the alcohol, the partying, and pretty soon they start wearing it on their face, their demeanor. Oh, you can get plastic surgery, but it's the heart that affects the expressions of your face. It's amazing how sin marks a person's face through life. Their boasting of sin is openly. Look at verse 9 there. They declare their sin as Sodom. They don't hide it. In other words, they flaunt it as that's what you live for. We're doing it. Not as a warning. Today we're the same. Drag queens, transgender. Men who feel like they're women, compete against women, destroying everything for women. What kind of insanity? How does it get here? By rejecting God. The entire attitude and society we see, not only in our nation, but the world, is a rejection of God. Notice their judgment is by their own doing there at the end of 9. Woe to their soul! For they have brought evil upon themselves. Woe is judgment. Not that he's on a horse. Judgment. God is patient. God is kind. But there comes a time when he draws that line and judgment will come. Look at verse 10 and 12, or through 12. Their ethical state was decayed. The righteous were in their midst. Like if you're walking with God, you're in the midst here. You're like Isaiah's day, and so am I. We're right in the middle of it. We see it. So to the righteous say that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Isaiah encouraged the righteous. You hang on. Don't be sucked in by them. Don't compromise. You stand for God. That's what we're to do in the midst of this evil. The wicked were the problem. Look at verse 11. Woe to the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him, literally done to him. So many people want to blame God. Why did God do this? Your life is a sum total of all your decisions. And God wants to take over your life by repentance so that he can make decisions for you through the word of God, and you align yourself with him so you can receive the best in life. Even as Christians, we can't avoid problems. We live in a sinful world. We live with ourselves. We're a big enough problem. Notice in verse 12, the clear dividing line of children and adults, of men's roles and women's, were blurred. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, Those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. You see that today. Even as the medical community approves of the changing of the sex of a young child, 12 years old, 13 years old, destroying them with hormone blockers and all. Wow, amazing. As for my people, children are the oppressors. Look to our society. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. And so God is pleading. We as a community of God's redeemed, we plead with people. We try to reveal God's word so that God can make this real to them, because we can't persuade anybody. We're praying that the light come on, they repent so they can see it. Once you're born again, you can see it, regardless of what age, what country, what nationality, wherever a person hears the gospel and responds to it, all of a sudden, bam, they see the world they're living is not the world that God wants for them. And choices are made to live like God wants. That's happened every generation, ladies and gentlemen. Look at 13 through 15. Their political state was self-serving. The Lord is the one to contend his case to judge the people. In verse 13, like a prosecuting attorney, the Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. He's on the throne. He's in control. He stands to charge and to cross-examine the accused, as he did in the first chapter. It's a legal prosecution as he opens up his book. Look at 14. The Lord would enter into arguments against the elders and princes for benefiting only themselves of the nation. What a picture of our politicians. Wow. For you have eaten up my vineyard. The Lord would enter into judgment against the elders, princes, for their theft. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. They would repossess their houses, take their furniture, and put it in their house. Whatever. Wow. Inside trading. Amazing. City councilors, city officers giving certain contracts to certain people because it benefits them. Look at 15. The Lord would enter into in judgment with the elders and princes for their cruelty and uncompassion. Wow. This is right in our faces here in our society. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding their faces to the of the poor, says the Lord God of hosts, the captain of the armies of heaven? Just having no compassion for those that have been devastated, just in the most recent thing with COVID. Appearing to try to help people, but really destroying people. Saying one thing, doing another. Wow. In the case of United States versus McIntosh, 1931, not that long ago, in the United States Supreme Court, the Supreme Justice declared the following regarding a Canadian who was applying for naturalization in the United States. Listen carefully. Quote, "We are a Christian people. According to one another, the equal right of religious freedom, and acknowledging with reverence the duty of obedience to the will of God." He didn't say we were a Christian nation. He said we are a Christian people. Great clarification. Our laws, our nation was founded on the Judeo-Christian principles of the Bible. The laws, the Ten Commandments. Supreme Court has Moses with the two tablets. Now, there are those that will tell you that that's fictitious and false history. Let me propose to you that they're a bunch of liars. Educators, politicians, and anyone else that buys it. This was only 140 years after the ratification of the Constitution, yet the court was still articulate in its message about being a people of spiritual commitment to God. You can't say that today. It's not there. The condition of a person's spiritual life is the most important thing in life, as you know, in order to know truth. That's why Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says the purpose of the church is to perfect the saints, to teach them. They come to maturity so you don't be tossed to and fro with everyone in doctrine. So you can know truth and error. So you can make right decisions, how to raise your children, how to be a husband, how to be a wife. What is truth? What is error? What is edifying? What's destructive? The moral character of a person will never be greater than the God he serves. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world is Satan. You and I used to serve him. We didn't know that, though. We thought that we were cool. We thought that we were leading others because they're following us. Yeah, but you were following Satan, the God of this world. The non-ethical judgment of today is that there is no right or wrong. Relativism. It was like that in the days of Isaiah. Listen to Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Nothing new. Isaiah's days. Our days. The heart of man is deceitful, desperately wicked. That's the problem. The politicians who embrace a spiritual, moral, and ethical, biblical base, they're accountable to God, and God has put some of them out there. There are not many, but there are some. God put Daniel in the palace, another of his prophets at different times. But they look to God, and they will pay a price at times, as they have in the past. But those who are not of God, they are accountable to no one but themselves. They're their own God. Relativism, whatever works, not what is right or wrong, but whatever is going to work. And so these were the reasons for their social instability. We see the parallel to our nation and the world. You can't deny it. Notice thirdly here from verse 16 of chapter 3 all the way to verse 1 of 4, the reminder of the heart of social instability. This is very critical as we look at this section. Notice verse 16, the women were given to sensuality. They were seeped in pride, first of all. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, they were parading themselves to see who they would and could entice and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes. Been to the mall lately? Or anything else? It's amazing. Ladies, you are a very special part of creation. But when the woman deviates from God's order, it's so destructive to society. Women hold society together, not men. Very important. Men protect society, but women hold it together. Notice they use clever ways to call attention to themselves by swaying their bodies, and 16, walking and mincing as they go by. In the looking. They're fishing. They're dragging the line. Some of them use nets. They use any and every dress ornament to attract men, making a jingling with their feet. Little cymbals they tied in their inner ankles, and they'd hit them together and make noise with the cat. They see a group of guys over there. They look around. Nothing new. Wow. Look at 18 to 23. The women were preoccupied with the latest fashions. The Lord would take it away. Now, let me say up front, there's nothing wrong with fashions, ladies. Okay? Not with any of the things that are going to be enumerated here. But it's their heart. It's where they're at. That's their priority of life. And it's for evil, not for good. In verse 18, he says, in that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves, the crescents. In 19, the pendants, the bracelets, the veils. In 20, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, nothing new. The headbands, ooh, the perfume boxes, the charms. Ooh, now you got little rabbit's foot, a little horseshoe and stuff like that, you know. Lord, let me make sure I can catch a guy today. You know, just all these charms they brought into the nation. Verse 21, and the rings, can't forget those. The nose rings, the nose jewels, the festal apparel, the mantle, the outer garments, the purses. Oh, purses, they got to match. And here's the important one, the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans, the robes. In and of themselves, nothing wrong with this, but they're being used to really serve their own purpose, their own sensuality, their own depravity. That's the problem. Now, today, we have much of that in many different ways. We've gone from a Christian people to a pagan people. You have people tagged out from head to toe. You have nose rings, everything, everywhere else. Now, let me say something, okay, before you... If you had those things before you came to the Lord, I have no problem with you. None whatsoever. If you get them after you're Christian, my question is why? Does that mean you're second class? No. But it's done. But certain things you do, you can't undo in life, right? You're still a child of God. But my question is why? But it says Jesus on it. Do you think Jesus needs advertisement or what? There's no reason. None whatsoever. Notice 17. And then we'll pick up to verse 24 down to 4:1. The women were to be humbled. This is where they live. Not pleasing to God. This is judgment. In 17, the Lord would give them up to captivity. They're already in bondage. They don't know it. So God's just going to put them in captivity. The northern kingdom to Assyria. The southern kingdom to Babylon. 722, the northern kingdom. The first siege of the southern kingdom was 606. 722, 606, that's 100 some years that God still gave the Judah to repent. They didn't learn from the sister in the north. Well, they weren't wise enough. They were stupid. You know, I'm different. Yeah, you're double stupid. Wow. Look at 17. Rather than being decorated with hair ornaments, therefore the Lord would strike with the scab on the crown of the head and the daughters of Zion. The implication being they wouldn't want to be seen and parade themselves. Now they're hiding. Wow. Look at still 17. Rather than having the latest fashions to tempt and allure, the Lord would uncover their secret parts. The implication is they would be displayed naked. Would be carried off to captivity naked and sold in the slave market. One of the tactics of people who overrun nations and humiliate people, Hitler did the same to the Jews. Once they got to the concentration camp, you stripped them all naked, all families, and put them all together to humiliate. And you're telling me man is good? Look at 24. The Lord would exchange their latest fashions with loathsome disposition here. And they shall, and so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. No perfume, but sewer water. Wow. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Now, women think a lot of hair. You don't touch a woman's hair. They want it just right. They look in the mirror and say, I look ugly. Because the culture says that. If you really believe you're ugly, you'd be glad you're ugly. But you're not ugly. You just want people to say you're not ugly. Like the picture. You take a picture. You look and say, oh, that's not looking. That's you. That's you. Because you think you look better. Amazing. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth. Sackcloth was very coarse, kind of camel-like skin. Used many times in Scripture for the prophets or the people for repentance, to afflict themselves before the Lord. Here, used to the high fashion, say, here, take a burlap sack, put it on. Going to captivity. Branding instead of beauty, woo. They would brand them with an iron. Today is happening with tattooing. Or even in the sex trade, these guys brand the women and the young girls. Nothing new under the sun, ladies and gentlemen. Notice 25 and 26 and 4:1, the Lord would destroy their men. No more protection whatsoever. Your men shall fall by the sword and your mighty in the war. Verse 25. And 26, her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit on the ground. The gates were the place of the elders, the wise, the decisions, the business went on. In 4:1, he says, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. Once again, you're only interested in what people think of you or what you appear to them. There's no concern for God at all, even at this point. Not having a husband in marriage. Marriage is no longer considered necessary by women today. Not even to have sex. Our society has been so broken down, so promiscuous. And there probably has been nothing that has destroyed a person more than sex before marriage or in adultery. It's something you can't undo. Now God is able to deal with our hearts, and by the grace of God we stand. But certainly, I wouldn't want to be David after Bathsheba. And yet God is still sufficient. So we never want to just look at the effects without the divine enablement. He's been so merciful. There was a couple that came here. The wife came here for years when we first started, and her husband, great guy, but just playboy and all that, and he got saved 25 years after. They were divorced. Came to the Lord. I remarried them. They're together. God is so good. So good. But only the grace of God. Only the grace of God. There's no commitment at all for marriage or for bearing children. Both are an anathema to women today. They interrupt their lives. Abortion is used as a birth control. Again, our governor has passed a new law. It's murder. The following is a poem written by Judge Roy Moore from Alabama, who was sued by the ACLU for displaying the Ten Commandments in his courtroom foyer. He was stripped of his judgeship and tried to be stripped of practicing law. Let me read you the poem. It says, America the beautiful, or so you used to be, land of the pilgrim's pride, I am glad they'll never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet, in land of liberty, your house is on the sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lust when God has said, abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teachings of God's love and the need to always pray. We've kept God in our temples. How callous we have grown when earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. We voted in a government that's rotting to the core, appointing godless judges who throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry that our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem the evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil ways, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. We have seen the progression of evil. It hasn't gotten better. But the hope we have is Jesus Christ. You can look at all this and say, oh, great. Great end of the year. Thank you, Pastor Xavier. But this is the reality of life and what the scripture says and warns us about. And you're aware of what's going on and you realize your need to pray and to be that example and to minister the gospel, the only hope there is for people. Very important. And that's why people don't want to hear the word of God. Everybody's into good energy, positive energy. Good. Don't give me bad news. Well, you don't want to live life then, do you? We have become a nation of tolerance and political correctness in order to please people while grieving God. We have sown to the wind. We have reaped the whirlwind, as Hosea 8:7 says. Hosea 10:13 says, you have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men. Survey after survey reports the greatest source of happiness is the family. George Barna, in his book, Frog in the Kettle, in the 90s, wrote the following. He says, the average age of marriage was 20 in the 60s. In the 90s, it was 26 years of age. And now it's probably 30, 32. And then he says, however, adults explain that this delight is a result of being able to pursue their own interests and needs. As long as the responsibility of family life do not hinder from pursuing their variety of interests, then family may be a great source of joy. The wrong values, wrong priorities. The ideals of women, he says, in the 50s and 60s revolved around motherhood and home. In the 70s and 80s, increasingly the dream focused upon being accepted as an equal in the labor force and having fewer family-related constraints. If her marriage constrains such pressures, she feels free to leave the relationship with child in tow. In 2022, marriage is not the priority or the primary consideration. It's considered outdated to the liberal and independent mind of their own doing. arrangements are made. Fathers parade their husbands live in with no shame, introduce them to the family. Remember the Old Testament, the book of Judges, same thing. Bob Dylan says, fathers are turning their daughters into whores. Wow. The heart of man, the standards change. If your daughter goes that way, you pray for her, you confront her. But you keep praying for her. But you don't concede and go along with it. You don't approve it. You don't accept it. Wow. We have become a nation that does not value its women, willing to make them equal to men, even willing to send them into battle. Wow. The greatest increase in crime, violence, and radical behavior is not by men, but women in our nation. Ezekiel 16:14 says, indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you, like mother, like daughter. That's not good in the context. But if you're a godly woman, you can make it a positive and good thing for your daughter, because you're teaching her what it is to be a godly woman. What is to be a woman who fears God? And you men as the head of the home, they're there to embrace and to reinforce and to instruct and to guide in the godly way. So important. We have seen the very progressive and certain destruction of the American home by the absenteeism of mothers in the home. Proverbs is clear. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The only hope we have is Jesus Christ as we repent. Notice the key factor in this last point is women. Women hold society together. Men protect it. Always has been like that. Nothing will ever change. And when you flop it around, it goes by the way. It goes sideways. And so this is the reminder of the heart of social instability. The judgment of God against Jerusalem and Judah was manifested in the most natural consequences. Some would even say, that's not God. It's just, we're just having a bad time. We'll pull through. We'll get out of it. But the prophet Isaiah gives the terms of social dynamics here that's very evident of our own nation. The reprisal for social stability or instability was for the removal of resources and leaders. The reason for social instability were spiritual, moral, and ethical breakdown. And the reminder of the heart of social instability was woman's degeneration. It's all around us. What do? We pray. We live for Jesus. We proclaim the Word of God. We give the only hope there is. My hope is not in the next president. My hope is not in the United States, but I live here. And this is where God has put me, to be a light and to proclaim the truth of God's word, regardless of what people say. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'm too old. I don't really care what I say anymore. Especially because it's God's word. Because so many people are so blind and so lost. And we pray that they would embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and turn to Him. That's our only hope, ladies and gentlemen. Father, thank you for your grace, your love and goodness. We love you. We thank you. We pray you deal with our hearts, Lord, and we thank you for the grace over our life, Lord, that you've turned our lives around. And that, Father, you've been so good to us as a church. We pray for those that are here that perhaps do not know you or over the internet, that they would call on your name to be forgiven, and that, Lord, they would be saved. As you're praying, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're here, maybe you're over the internet. If God has allowed you to see your need and to realize the depravity of our nation and the need of your repenting from your sin, then that's the grace of God. God always requires a simple prayer of repentance, that you agree with God that you are a sinner in need of a redeemer, to be forgiven. And that if that doesn't happen, you will perish. Whether you believe in heaven or hell makes no difference. It's there. Whether you believe gravity is true or not doesn't matter. It does. By the grace of God, you can call upon him. If you desire to repent, this is a simple prayer, your prayer to him, not to us. And he's going to forgive you right now and make you his child. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. Give me a brand new heart. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.